This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد قال تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون المعون صدق الله العظيم. My dear brothers, sisters, elders, I remind myself and you, especially as we are in the last 10 days of and 10 nights of Ramadan al-Kareem, to guard our ibadat, to jealously guard our ibadat, and not take them for granted, and not lose the value of that ibadah by doing something which has the potential of completely destroying it and totally wiping out. You made the effort, you did everything you needed to do, where it was something where you needed to travel somewhere, you did that, you incurred the expense, like our brothers and sisters who go for Umrah and so on in these blessed nights and days, and then you do something where everything gets wiped out. I remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the surah which I recited, Suratul Ma'un, all of us know the surah, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, woe to the people who pray. It's like saying, shame on the people who pray. Cursed are the people who pray. Woe to the people who pray. Strange. People who pray. He's not saying woe to the people who don't pray. Woe to the people who pray, who delay their prayer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Who delay their prayer. Why do we delay our prayer? For our convenience. There is no other reason. The reason why we delay our prayer is for our convenience. And what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah is saying, woe to you if you do that. And then, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. And they are the ones who pray to show off. They pray so that people will see them and people will praise them and their salah, their khushu and so on and so forth, which is visible in the way they are standing and so on and so forth. My brothers and sisters, let me narrate for you some ahadith concerning this extremely, extremely important matter. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith in Muslim and also in Musnad Imam Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what I fear for you the most is minor shirk, and that is ar-riya, showing off. Allah will say on the Day of Judgment, when He is rewarding people for their actions, go to those for whom you did riya, for in the world, then see if you find the reward with them. Go to those for whom you did riya for in this world, and then see if you find the reward with them. Now, riya comes from ruya, which is to see. And riya is this feeling, this desire in the heart that people must see me and they must think I'm a pious person, they must think I'm a generous person, they must think I'm a great and brave person, and so on and so forth. And Rasulullah ﷺ called this shirk. Rasulullah ﷺ said in another hadith, which is in Ibn Majah, from the hadith of Abu Sayyid al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, he said, shall I not inform you of what I fear for you more than Masih al-Dajjal? More than Dajjal. I fear for you this thing more than I fear Masih al-Dajjal. It is hidden shirk. It is ar-riya. It is when a man stands up for prayer, then beautifies his prayer for another to look at. In another hadith, in again Musnad Imam Ahmad, Mahmud ibn Labid radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, "Verily, my greater fear for you is the lesser idolatry, small idol worship." And they said, "Ya Rasulullah, what is lesser idolatry?" Rasulullah said, "It is ostentation, it is showing off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them on the day of resurrection, when people are being compensated for their deeds, recompensed for their deeds, go to those for whom you made a show in the world and look, do you find any reward with them?" Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, "Ar-riya is more hidden than a black ant on a black stone in a dark night. Ar-riya is more hidden than a black ant on a black stone in a dark night." Maqil bin Yasir radiallahu anhu reported in Bukhari in Adab al-Mufrad, he said, "I departed with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 'Oh Abu Bakr, there is idolatry among you more hidden than the crawling of an ant.' Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, 'Is there idolatry other than to make another God alongside Allah?'" Let me repeat that beautiful hadith. Maqil bin Yasir radiallahu anhu reported, "I departed with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 'Oh Abu Bakr, there is idolatry among you more hidden than the crawling of an ant.' Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, 'Ya Rasulullah, is there idolatry other than to make another God besides Allah or alongside Allah?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "By the one in whose hand is my soul, there is idolatry more hidden than the crawling of an ant. Shall I not tell you something to say to rid you of it, both minor and major?" And he said, "Say, O Allah, I seek refuge in you, that I associate partners with you while I know, and I seek your forgiveness for what I do not know." And this is in Bukhari in Adab al-Mufrad. "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam." Final hadith, which is in Tirmidhi and Nasai and also in Muslim, and it's a very, very frightening hadith. If you have not been frightened enough by whatever I said until now. And that is on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said, "I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, 'The first of people against whom judgment will be pronounced on the day of resurrection will be a man who died a martyr,'" will be a man who died shaheed. "He will be brought, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make known to him his favors, and the man will recognize them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say, 'And what did you do about them?' The man will say, 'I fought for you until I died a martyr.' Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, 'You have lied. You did but fight that it might be said of you, he is courageous, he is brave.' And so it was said. Then he will be ordered to be dragged along on his face until he is cast into the hellfire. Another man will be brought who studied religious knowledge and has taught it and who used to recite the Quran. He is a qari and he is an alim. He will be brought and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make known to him his favors and the man will recognize them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say, 'And what did you do about these favors?' He will say, 'Ya Rab, I studied religious knowledge and I taught it and I recited Quran for your sake.' Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, 'You have lied. You did this, you studied religious knowledge and so on, so that it might be said of you, he is learned. And you recited the Quran that it might be said of you that you are a qari, you are a reciter. And so it was said, then he will be ordered to be dragged along on his face until he is cast into the hellfire. Another man will be brought who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given wealth. Allah had made him rich and to whom he had given all kinds of wealth. He will be brought and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make known to him his favors and the man will recognize them. Then the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, and what did you do about them? The man will say, I left no path untrodden in which you like money to be spent without spending in it for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you have lied. You did that, but so that it might be said of you, he is generous and open-handed. And so it was said. And then he will be ordered to be dragged along on his face until he is cast into the hellfire. And as I mentioned, this is in Muslim, Tirmidhi and An-Nasai. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from these calamities. Now, the point is this. You might say, well, how does this apply to me? Because my intention is good. Alhamdulillah, your intention is good. The intention of anybody who has iman and who has belief in the Day of Judgment, at the beginning of whatever ibadah they are doing, their intention is always good, inshallah. Because that's where we start. The issue is not where we start. The issue is what happens to it thereafter. And we have two major enemies which are worse than enemies who want to kill us. Because these two don't want to kill us. They want to allow us to continue to live and to do things which will eventually end up putting us into the hellfire. And these two enemies, one is external, one is inside us. The external one is called Iblis or Shaitan, and the one inside us is called a nafs. We need to fear them. We need to fear, we need to be terrified of these two. Especially of the nafs, because the nafs belongs to us. It is inside us. It is me. My nafs is me. Your nafs is you. Deed starts good, then it goes. How does it happen? For example, you are a beautiful reciter of the Quran. You learn to recite. You learn to recite in the different ways of recitation. You start your recitation with ikhlas, alhamdulillah. You are standing, you are the imam. People have called you and they want to listen to your reciting. And you start your recitation. And as you start reciting, the thought comes into your mind, oh, mashallah, subhanallah, I'm reciting so well. And all of these people are listening. And of course, I will come to that a little later, but let me introduce that, which is the issue of social media. So now you also have, for example, somebody who's got a camera there, their phone, and this is now live on Facebook, live on YouTube, and everywhere else. And you say, oh, mashallah, there are all these thousands and millions of people all over the world who are listening to me reciting this Quran. Believe me, you are standing on the musalla and committing shirk. You are standing on the musalla and you are committing shirk. And do not tell me that this thought does not come into your mind or my mind. I am an imam, right? I am an imam. Whatever way I recite, good or bad, it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. But I hate imamat. And the reason I hate imamat is because of this. Because when I recite, the thought comes into my mind. What will happen? The people behind me, they might be getting more khushu, they might be getting more concentration, they might be getting more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of my recitation, but I am committing shirk. My brothers and sisters, we need to run away from this. What must you do first of all, right then? Is the moment that thought comes into your mind, immediately make istighfar. Immediately make istighfar. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us. But like anything else, stay far away from these situations, right? Same thing with charity. People will tell you, no, you know, Rasulullah said, give charity in a way where what the right hand gives, the left hand does not know, right? What the right hand gives, the left hand does not know. But people will tell you, no, you know, must give in these fundraising gatherings.
right? Stand up and announce, I am giving $10,000, I am giving $100,000, I am giving $1 million. You will encourage other people. If you are giving $1 million, how many people do you think are going to be encouraged to give $1 million? As a matter of fact, in my long, over 20 years of experience in trying to raise funds, having people giving $1 million and announcing completely destroys the fundraising of everybody else. People will say, oh, they already have $1 million, why should I give? Somebody is giving $1 million, what's the use of my $20? What's the use of my $100? What's the use of my $500? My brothers and sisters, seriously, don't fall into these traps. If somebody wants to stand up and encourage other people to donate by announcing their donation, let them do it. You don't be that person. You want to donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do it quietly. Don't announce to anybody. And if somebody is selling you the story, oh, but you see it, encourage other people, tell him, please. Let other people encourage. That is not, I am not mukallaf on this. Allah has not created me to encourage other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me whatever He gave me, and I want to spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as quietly as possible. Today, I am sick and tired of talking about social media. But social media is one of the biggest traps of shaitan. People take, I was just reading this morning, notifications from the Haramain, where they have, the scholars of the Haramain, they are condemning, and they are, they are saying, why are people taking selfies and why are people taking pictures of other people worshipping with the Kaaba as the background, or the Masjid al-Nabawi as the background, or inside the Masjid al-Nabawi, and so on and so forth. Why are people doing that? This destroys the solemnity, this destroys the adab, it is against the adab of the Masjid, it destroys the the sense of holiness about the Masjid. Think about this. When a person is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the most private and intense act of a connection between the abd and his rabb, right? If I am worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is my private moment with my rabb Jalla Jalalu. Now there are two possibilities. One, you take a picture of me worshipping because you see the way I am standing and so on and so forth. I do not know you are there. You have taken a picture of me. What have you done? You have grossly invaded my privacy, which is illegal in the dunya, and on the day of judgment, it is illegal. I did not permit you to take that photograph. You took it. Whatever your reason. Your reason is maybe a very good reason. Oh, I want to show my brother. I want to show the people how beautifully my brother prays. Maybe your reason. Despite that reason, it's an invasion of my privacy. If you are taking a picture without asking me, it's an invasion of my privacy. If you ask me and I permit you, then I'm committing shirk. As simple as that. If you ask me, can I take a picture of you praying? And I said, yes, please take a picture. That is shirk. The only exception is if I'm teaching a group of people or teaching a single person how to pray. And the person says, can I please video this because I can't remember everything. I will take a video of how you are praying and you are showing me. And this is not prayer. It is a demonstration, right? I am saying things, for example, raise your hands up and say Allahu Akbar, which means God is great, Allah is great, and then fold your hands. This is a lesson. This is not worship. I'm not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm teaching them how to worship. Now, if you video that, alhamdulillah, no problem. Right? You can video that, you can use it as an instructional video to show people. But actual worship, somebody is worshipping. You take a picture without that person's permission, it is a gross violation of privacy. And if you take the person's permission and the person permits you to do that, then he is committing shirk. Then why are you aiding and abetting and helping him to commit shirk? Taking selfies with the Kaaba as your background. Why? For what? Again, the only excuse is you are doing Hajj Badal for somebody else, and I don't know, maybe they don't believe you did it or something, right? So you're showing them. Even there, what's the reason? If you're doing this Hajj for somebody else and they don't even believe that you did it, it doesn't matter. If you did it for them, then they will see it on the Day of Judgment. I mean, I can understand you take a picture of the building of Masjid al-Nabawi or something, or building of the Haram, whatever reason you want to take a picture. But taking picture of worship, others or yourself. I am standing before the Rauda. This is the Rauda, picture of my Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. This is disrespect for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You are standing there with your back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you're taking a picture. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Same thing with the Kaaba. You are supposed to face the Kaaba, right? Not with your back to the Kaaba and taking a picture. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then, of course, all this gets posted on Instagram, on Facebook, and God knows where. And you think it doesn't get posted. You send it to somebody, that person posts it. Please, 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 please. If you think you have so many good deeds that you can lose them, that's up to you. As far as I'm concerned, we are all faqirs, we are all fuqara. We are in desperate need for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't destroy it by doing something good by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then destroying it by showing off in one way or the other. As I told you, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he quoted from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, shirk is more hidden than a black ant crawling on a black stone on a dark night. That is how hidden it is. You might say, no, but that's not my intention. You don't even know what your intention is. Your intention to begin was good. How that intention changed in your heart, you are not even aware. This is human nature. This is human. If somebody is telling me that he's going to stand up in a public function and said, I am donating $100,000 for the building of this masjid. I am donating so many thousand dollars for this madrasa. And if he's telling me that that doesn't affect his heart, that he does not feel some sense of, you know, I am doing something, then he's a liar. Please, save yourself. The ulama say that ikhlas, sincerity of intention, is like carrying a thick wad of banknotes in your pocket and you are going through a very, very crowded place, a railway station or a fair or something, where you know there are pickpockets. Pickpockets, they've cased the joint, that's their job. Now they are there to pick the pocket. What will you do in that situation? You have to pass through, there's no way, no other way. You must go through that place. What will you do? You will have that wad of banknotes. You will have your hand on that pocket the whole time. You will not let go of that even for a second. And that is what we need to do with our ikhlas. The first hadith in Bukhari in Muslim, narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama al-amalu bin niyat. The amal is based on its intention. In another hadith, Rasulullah said, "Innama al-amalu bil khawatim." He said the deeds are based on how they end. Alhamdulillah, we may have started Ramadan whichever way we started it, but we are now in the closing part of it. Let us end strong. Let us end strong. Let us make a lot of istighfar. Let us make a lot of istighfar. Let us beg and plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to enable us to end Ramadan strong. Make a lot of istighfar. Ya Allah, whatever I did, please forgive me. My niyyah and so on and so forth. I don't know what happened to it. Whatever, please forgive me. Do not allow those deeds, whatever little good I did, do not allow this to go down the drain because of my niyyah. A deed without ikhlas, a deed that is done for anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, He does not accept impure things. He does not accept things which are adulterated. And the adulteration of deeds is ar-riya. It is to do it with the intention of pleasing someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah. And fear the day when you and I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we find that our account book is blank. Everything is gone. We thought we did so many things. Everything is gone because of what happened to our niyyah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to make this Ramadan the best of your lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all whatever we did and to convert that into good deeds. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our istighfar and tawbah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do things only and only to please Him, for no other reason. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the fitna of shaitan, the fitna of our nafs, and the fitna of social media and our phones. Please, my brothers and sisters, shut those phones off. Get out of Facebook, get out of Instagram. Please do not record things and do not send them online and do not do online live recording of salah and this and that. Please. Do not allow deeds to be destroyed. And if you find somebody doing that, fear no one other than Allah, stand up and talk. Because if you don't say what needs to be said, then you will have your neck before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you knew, but you did not want that person. Because you were so afraid of that person. You were so afraid of what this person's bad opinion will do to you. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure, nothing else. Nobody in the world matters. Except Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, whose opinion and whose pleasure and whose will is the only thing which matters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to end this Ramadan in a beautiful way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us in from this world in a state where He is pleased with us and where we are in a state of worshipping Him and glorifying Him, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته